This is episode number 40 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of August 25th, 2008. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got our current distractions, gaming news. For our feature this week, we asked the question, what do you think about the rearming of the Bionic Commando franchise? New releases, listener email, and the rated A for awesome question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 40.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. Actually, this is technically, this would be our 42nd episode if you count our two special episodes. We've done a lot. Yeah.
We're getting up there. Almost over the hill.
Yeah, pretty much.
Close to Jason's age.
That means I'm older. Sorry. My name is Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hey, guys.
And Jeff Torney.
Word up.
Word up. Yeah, so we're going to jump right into it. We didn't get a chance to record on Thursday, so today is Sunday, and we are recording. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon, so we're probably going to try and make this a quick one, so sorry.
You know how our Sunday recordings go.
Yeah. They're usually a little bit more messed up because most of us are wanting to go back to bed or something like that. Anyway, Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Kind of depressed. My son's gone now. He went back to Wisconsin. So, dropped him off at the airport yesterday and came home and the house was very quiet and nothing going on. And I'm just kind of beside myself. I don't know how to get back into the swing of things, you know. So
yeah, he was there for a while. It was good. It was good that you guys got to hang out.
2-3 months.
Yeah. That's awesome, though, that you guys got to spend that time together.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Such a full house moment.
Jeff, what's going on in your full house?
A whole bunch of nothing. I have the whole place myself right now. Woohoo! Laying here in my boxers and socks and.
Okay, that's a mental image that we don't need while we're doing the podcast.
You just think you don't need it. That's good. I had a wedding to go to on Friday. It seemed like every couple of weeks I have a wedding to go to or some kind of function. To do with a wedding, and then yesterday just kind of relaxed, and today gonna do the same. Might clean up the place a bit, it's looking kind of messy, but other than that, doing all right.
Cool. Yeah, not much going on here either. It's been a busy week at work this week, and Friday kind of sucked because I don't mind staying late at work, any day. It's not a big deal, but I don't like doing it on Friday. That on Friday I was there until like almost 6:30 trying to get something to work and. Kind of sucked, but got to go out and have beer after that, so that was good. But yeah, besides that, not much going on, just kind of chilling out, playing games. That's been what I've been doing this week, so that's what we should talk about. Jason, you should start.
Think I should?
Yeah, go for it, man. What are you playing?
I'll see what I can do. No surprise, Team Fortress 2. Still digging on that stuff. Announcement. My son actually quit his WoW guild. The guild broke up, and he's quitting his WoW account.
Wow.
I should say.
No pun intended.
So, yeah, that's over and done with. But we picked up a new one to play, just kind of a little more casually. City of Heroes.
So wait.
Oh, okay, cool.
The guild broke up.
Yeah, the guild broke up, and he was all sad and depressed about it. Even though he had left the guild, he still visited the forums and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Apparently the guild exploded and he was just like, I have no desire to play anymore.
Shit. Your guild explode.
Yeah, done. Aside from that, Bionic Commando has been occupying a lot of time. Do love that game. We'll talk about that in a little bit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we will.
I think so.
I set up a PC for my living room, actually, just on the, on the big screen TV.
Oh, cool.
So I've got a bunch of emulators on there and I've been playing around with some old stuff, which has been fun. Namely, like, the old Bionic Commando. Pop that in. Good times.
Now, why would you do that?
Because, I'd like to think of myself as a very professional podcaster and want to make sure that...
You were doing your research.
That's what research.
Yeah, it was research. Something like that. But I can't think of anything else, really. That was about it.
Cool.
You played Soul Calibur, you douche, and you're still dodging
God,
my game invites. I'm pretty sure you're afraid.
No,
you are afraid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I am playing a lot of Soul Calibur. I'm surprised I didn't mention that. So, yeah, I keep getting invites from Jeff, and it's always like when I'm outside smoking or something, and I'll check my messages later on to see that something, you know, came through and I missed it. I'm like, damn it. Kellen and I had some pretty fucking epic matches. We're getting both really good at. He's got Taki on his side, and I've got Cassandra on mine. And we're getting actually pretty consistent about getting like critical finishers now.
Ooh.
Because we know each other so well that we're blocking everything. And it's just, I don't know. They're really, really cool matches. But I've been practicing a lot with Hilde recently. Like, I spent actually like an hour or two just yesterday just practicing stuff. I got a pretty nasty little seven hitter that.
Oh, nice.
Pretty fantastic.
Cool. Was it a seven hitter you just figured out on your own, or was it one that actually taught you in the training?
Well, once I figured out like one linker that I saw online, it just opened up the rest of the combo to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that makes sense now. Now I can do that. And then some stuff with Cassandra too, you know, once I figured out what her counter hits were, there's lots of stuff that you can do after it.
Cool.
So it's like, oh, lots of fun combos.
Fun stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. Now, I did pick up the game finally, but I haven't started playing it yet. Who do you guys suggest that I start with as far as, like, which character? Now, when I played it significantly when it was part two, and I played mostly Mitsurugi and Taki and Sofitia and Yoshi.
Are you going to name, like, half the people or what?
Yeah, I did. No, but that was my... Usually, Mitsurugi was probably my main guy.
He's so probably the best one to start out with. He's the most... One of the most straightforward, I think. Yeah.
I'd say
I got to prepare myself.
Like really small, concise, 2-3 hitters. And yeah, he's easy to pick up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Keelig's good to get my practice in.
Well, Keelig's good for spammers.
Yeah,
I got to say.
Yeah.
You know, because he's got so much priority and a huge arc with his, like his horizontal attacks that it's easy to win with him. I don't know. You're not really learning the game then if you're just spamming moves.
That's true.
Over and over again.
Yeah, see, I'm actually to the point where I want to learn how to use Keelig just so I know how to defend against him.
Yeah, it's a good
because
way to do it.
I've noticed that there are a lot of people that start with Keelig because he's so easy. And that's one of those things that I'm just not accustomed to doing something like that. I'd rather pick like the hardest character and do it that way, you know?
And pick Ivy.
Yeah, so I've heard that Ivy is pretty tough, but they changed her moveset entirely, didn't they?
She's got three new movesets. Well, three new stances, as it were. So there's new moves for each of those. And yeah, some of the old stuff that worked in previous games does not work anymore.
Yeah, I might check her out.
There's some crazy shit going on with her, though. I've seen some combo videos online and even in person online. Seriously, just like 2-3 hits and then all of a sudden I'm being juggled in the air and the crazy stuff going on with Ivy. Crazy. Crazy cheap shit. Like her.
Cool. Jason, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Jeff, take it away, man.
Got my arcade stick finally.
Came in
last week. Took a little bit to get used to. I haven't touched an arcade stick since I don't know what game last does in the arcade, I guess. And I'm used to, you know, kind of being above the arcade stick. If that makes sense. Kind of with your hands kind of lower. So I'm sitting in my chair with it kind of on my lap. And this kind of feels weird. It took some getting used to. And with Soul Calibur, I changed the buttons around a little bit from the default. And finally, after a while, I was like, okay, I was right back into it. And I was getting off combos way faster and more consistent since I've had it.
So, awesome. Awesome.
Good purchase. Yeah. I can see why everyone recommends them. And if you don't have one, you're thinking about it. If you're going to play a fighting game for a while, pick it up. They're relatively inexpensive, the same price as a regular controller. So I don't see why... people would think they're expensive, and yeah, awesome. I'm loving it so far. So Soul Calibur is a game that I've been playing quite a bit the last week. I try to only go on though when people are online. Like I said, I was going to play it yesterday, but Jason was ignoring my invite, so I decided to play something else.
Cowering in the corner.
See, I was actually going to mention that. That's something that bothers me about PSN. When you get a message, it flashes it up there, and then it goes away. Yeah. And that's fine if you're playing a game or something like that. But like if you're on the dashboard or the cross-media bar, it should give you some sort of constant notification or something that you have messages. Because if you miss that initial, like, hey, you have a message. I mean, I have no idea if I have messages or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, I think totally off topic, but I just wanted to mention it. Because I know that, like, for instance, the 360 dashboard, whenever you go back to the main... Blade, you know, it'll say messages. You have this many messages, you know, and I appreciate that because it's like, I don't always, I'm not always sitting in front of my TV looking at it when someone sent me a message. So, sorry, off topic. Continue.
What else? Okay, of course, Bionic Commando. I didn't go and play all the old ones like you guys. So apparently I don't do my research. Actually, I just had no access to them. Wasn't on a PC too much, so I couldn't download it somewhat legally or whatever you want to call it. What else did I play? Of course, well, Too Human. I picked that up, and you guys haven't played that yet, have you?
I haven't.
Just the demo? And I'm Chris, your 360 died, right? So
yeah, my 360 is dead.
Shitty.
Very shitty. The day before I got the fucking game.
That blows.
It does.
I remember playing the demo. I really liked the demo. And then after the first initial reviews came out, it got like, I think, a 5.5 from GameSpot and a C- from 1UP. I was kind of like, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to do this because I made the mistake with Lair by reading the reviews. And I still said, you know what? Screw it. I'm looking forward to the game. I'm just going to go out there and buy it. And then liked it for a bit. Then I realized how terrible of a game it was. So I thought this was going to be the same thing with Too Human. But then I was talking to the show Box VG, and everyone pretty much said, you know what? If you like the demo, at least buy it. Because, hey, if you at least like the demo, you've tried it. So, you know, the worst that can happen, it's just as good as the demo, and that's it. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to buy it. Who cares? but the thing is, I was still kind of up in the air until my neighbor gives me a call. And he's like, oh, by the way, I picked you up Too Human. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I am buying Too Human now. Because I hyped it up to him for the longest time, saying he had to play it. He played the demo. He's actually said he didn't like it. I convinced him to play it again, just get used to the controls, and then he loves it. Like, so he's like, okay, Gary, you have to buy it now. So I was like, okay, fine. First night, I think I put in about 4.5 to 5 hours straight. It is addicting. It's like crack.
Yeah. How much shit is the demo like, is that representative of what actually drops in the game?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of shit then.
You're getting good shit all the time, which is actually something I don't really like about it because
You have to manage your inventory all the time.
Yeah, you got to do that. Well, you can set up, there's an auto-manage kind of thing where you can actually tell it what to pick up, which is pretty cool. So you can say, listen, if I don't want anything below this level, it won't pick up anything below that level. Or it'll pick it up, but it'll just sell it off for cash right away.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. But there's no point in using that until you're probably, I have two characters around level 25 right now.
On the same line, do they have like an auto like equip type thing?
No,
like,
they don't have that. Stuff, no.
They don't have anything like that. What about like skills? Do they auto level you up or anything?
You have to put skills.
You put the skills where you want. There's like a skill tree. There's two skill trees depending on what you are, and then you can put them. Every time you level up, you get a certain amount of points. It ranges anywhere from like 5 to 2 points per level, and you got to put them where you want to put them on the skill tree. And you can also reassign them too. If you don't like the path you took and you think it's not working, you can pay a certain amount of bounty, which is money in the game, to reassign everything if you want. So, and I found because you level up so high so fast in the beginning, like levels 1 to 10 doesn't take long at all. When I played through the campaign first level, I just played through it. I didn't only level up twice where I actually set my stats and changed my equipment because I was like, you know what? Because I'm just going to be doing this every like 5 minutes if I don't. So it actually worked out pretty well. But yeah, you get a lot of good stuff. The problem is you might finally get a set of armor and be like, yeah, I got a set of armor, but then 10 minutes later you're getting better armor and then you're like, oh, okay. So, and again, this is probably just the first early levels that kind of does this because you're leveling up quickly. But yeah, a lot of good
stuff.
I actually have a question for you
about like armor and equipment and stuff. I know that you have the ability to make your own stuff. Have you done that yet?
Yeah, that's not really true. You can't really, at least you can make your own charms, which is basically, no, you don't even make the charms, actually. You equip these things called charms, and you have to complete these tasks that it says in the little charm. You have to do this, and then it'll open up these skills.
Right.
And then you do that, then you have to have it equip. And then you have,
Little mini quests, right? Sort of?
Yeah, they're kind of like mini quests, but they're really pointless. You just equip them and just kind of forget about them. And then after a while, you'll check your menu, and be like, oh, okay, these are completed. But the thing is, you can only use them if they're equipped. Like, they only have the effect on your character if they're actually equipped. So I honestly don't even use them. I'm like, it's hard to explain. Just they do little tiny things to your character, like give you little buffs or whatever, but it's really, to me, it hasn't been worth it to take all the time to maintain them and, you know, keep switching them in and out. And same with the runes in the game. You collect these runes that you can insert into sockets on your armor or on your weapons, and I really don't use those either because I've been fine. I haven't really needed to use them at all. So I just kind of get them and sell them off. But
okay.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, yeah, the crafting stuff. You don't really, what you do is you get, you find blueprints for weapons and armor, and usually the best weapons and armor come in like blueprint form, and then what you do is you just pay money to unlock them, basically. So you're not really, really crafting them, per se.
Hmm. Okay.
At least not where I am. And like I said, I only have a couple characters like around level 25, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how difficult it was to find, like, if there were materials that you had to find or some shit like that.
No.
Sounds like there's not.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. The game, I actually got really pissed. First level's not that hard at all. Second stage is, I played it through at first on co-op, and we were just dying every single battle we got into, we were dying at least once. And I thought it was ridiculous. I was getting so pissed off with the game. I didn't know what we were doing wrong. We had pretty decent equipment on. Then I went and played it on single player through the campaign, that level, and I had a much easier time. I'm a different class in my campaign too, though. But I realized we were just running into the battle, just kind of slicing up everything we could, trying to take down the biggest guys first, and that's not really the best strategy. I like how there's kind of like a little bit of strategy to how you take on a certain area of the game or a certain battle. Like, you might have these sniper guys shooting at you, you want to take them out first, or certain trolls or goblins might blow up on impact or freeze you on impact, which annoyed the hell out of me. So even if you hit them, you get frozen, and this is what would cause us to die every like 2 minutes, because there's no way. This is another little complaint, is no characters except for the bioengineer really have status effects that they can just do whenever they want to. So if you get frozen, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to cast on yourself, so you have these status effects not have an effect on you, which is kind of annoying. So you just kind of find ways around it, like just take out those enemies from a distance or whatnot and whatever. But yeah, it just takes a little bit of getting used to and how the game wants you to play it, because there's really not a good tutorial at all, and it doesn't really explain anything in the manual. It's kind of a trial and error process. But it's really fun. I found myself playing it as often as I can, and this is kind of cool. Like, it's not, technically it's not the best game in the world. Like, it's passable with graphics. It's a little bit above average. The animation, the cutscenes are kind of wonky at times, but in terms of addiction, like, you just want to find more stuff, play with one person, which I will say it would be better if it was four players, but I can see, like, okay, Dyack said four player would be too hectic. I kind of think it's that, plus I don't think the game or the engine was optimized enough to actually be able to handle that, because there is a little bit of slowdown at times, even with two people.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, but there's so much happening on screen, though. There'll be times where there's 50 of these goblin things attacking you, and, like, two trolls, like, tons of stuff on screen, and having two people on there gets a little bit crazy. Like, it's to the point where you don't even know what you're doing. At some points, you're just kind of like flipping the stick, like, okay, where the hell is my guy? With four people, that might be a little bit ridiculous. But I am kind of hoping they'll add it at least for the second one, if the game sells enough to get a sequel anyway.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, but I don't know. Cool. I'll talk more about that, like, when one of you guys gets it, so we can go into more in depth.
Yeah, as soon as I get I've already gotten it, so as soon as I get my 360 back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on top of it. So I'm just hoping that you guys are still playing the damn game when I get my 360.
I think
back.
I will be. It's addicting as hell. Like, cool. This is the first time since PSO where I've actually gone through some levels and done them twice just to get, like, better stuff or complete a set of armor or whatnot. And the epic stuff doesn't even open, I think, until you hit level 50, which is a level cap.
Yeah.
So, and I want to see some of that stuff. This looks really badass.
Hmm. And you said you're level 25 already?
I'm level 20. I think I'm like 24. Four with one character and like 23 or 25 with another. I have a champion and berserker going.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which you like better?
I think the berserker is a little bit more fun, or a little bit easier with the berserker, just because it's, you build up your combo meter, which is essentially your magic. Once it hits certain thing, you can cast different spells or ruiner attacks or whatnot. And with the berserker, it's so easy to get your combo meter up really high. Whereas the champion's a little bit slower moving and. But I don't know.
He doesn't skate as far when you.
Exactly. You can get that stuff up there higher by putting skills. But yeah, basically that's what it comes down to. But then again, the champion's better at air juggling. You can, like, juggle multiple characters in the air. So, but the thing is, problem with that is you have to get the characters in the air to begin with. So you gotta. It's pretty cool. It's pretty crazy. That's not, like, I don't really see too much of a difference in all the classes either, except for the bioengineer who can heal himself and people in the, well, I wouldn't say party, the one partner you're playing with, but that. Besides little tweaks here and there, they pretty much all play identical. But hey. But they all have different armor sets, which is worth it enough to try different
classes. Right, that's kind of neat.
Is there a real benefit to the bioengineer? I heard he was actually kind of useless. I mean, do you find yourself needing to be healed an awful lot?
No, not at all. If you know what you're doing, like before when me and my buddy were dying all the time, if you know what you're doing and know when to use your finishers and stuff like that, you should be fine. Because usually when you do a finisher and you're low on ammo, or not low on ammo, low on health, I guess the game kind of knows this, and it'll, when you kill the enemy, they'll usually drop like a health orb or something like that. Okay. So if you know what you're doing and you're not being overwhelmed, you're taking down the right enemies at the right times, you shouldn't really have a problem. Like that ice forest level, which is level 2, we literally died. Between the two of us, I'd say about probably close to 50 times. And it took about 2.5 hours to get through the entire level, because that's often we're dying. Oh, which when you die, you have to watch this. It takes maybe about 20 to 30 seconds of the scene of the angel coming down, which you saw it in the demo, and it picks you up.
Yeah.
You can't skip that, so that gets really annoying after a while.
Do you have to watch it when they die too?
No. No, that's another thing. The reviews came out and said that when you're playing with somebody online, if they pause the game to go into their menu, the game pauses for both characters. That is not true.
Well, I saw that in the preview. I didn't see that in the review. Was there a review that said that?
Yeah, there was a review. I think the 1UP one said that or something. Or
did it? Okay.
I can't remember. But yeah, so they fixed that. And also when your partner dies and the angel's coming down, you can see it happen. Like, it's happening right there in real time, but it doesn't stop the game for you or anything like that.
Good.
Yeah, and also when it is happening in multiplayer, you can go into your equipment, you can fiddle around with your equipment or even assign your skill points at that point, because you're like, hey, you know what, I got 30 seconds to kill, might as well do it now, which is kind of what we started doing.
That's helpful.
Yeah, so you kind of forget about it.
All right.
What was I going to say? You asked me a question, I was going to answer that before we got in the whole death thing.
No, health. I was asking you which one you liked better, the Berserker or the Champion?
Well, no, yeah, I said I liked the Berserker a little bit better.
Right, that's all I asked, I think.
Yeah, and there's something about
health, because that's the class I'm thinking about going with is the Berserker.
Yeah, Berserker's pretty cool. Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, well, forget it. Jason, you don't remember?
No.
We're talking about health and then death, and did you have to be... I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever. I'm sure we'll talk about Two Human again.
Yes. Yeah, it's enough Two Human for now. Talked about Soul Calibur, Bionic Commando. That's pretty much it. That's all I really played last week, but that's pretty much all I played, and I played them both a lot, so...
Yeah. All right, cool.
What about you?
Yeah,
I've
played a lot, but... It's like little chunks of a lot. Hmm. So I played all 4 versions of Bionic Commando, but we'll get to that later. Hmm. PS3, I played some Pixel Junk Eden. I did end up getting it. It's a lot of fun. I just need to. It's one of those games that I can't see myself. I want to go back and play it, but I can't see myself playing it for a long period of time all at once. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's like it's something that I would waste like 10 or 15 minutes on and then come back to later.
Cool.
Yeah. Buttery of mine came over last weekend, and we played some Boom Blocks. That was fun. Been playing more PSU, of course. Been playing... I started playing Castlevania Aria of Sorrow for GBA. So it's if you played the first DS one, it's relatively the same. But let's see what else. I picked up Dungeon Explorer for PSP for cool. $10.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten into it very deep yet. All I've done is like made a character and went through like this, like training process where they show you how to do everything and they show you where you can buy weapons and stuff like that. So I haven't really gone on the first quest yet. But with the death of my 360 and not being able to play Two Human, I needed a dungeon crawler of some sort, like a different dungeon crawler than PSU. Yeah. I needed something else I could go to. So I got that, and it's, you know, so far it's okay. I haven't really, one thing I've noticed already is that your equipment doesn't change on your character when you change equipment. And that's always one of those little touches that I really love to have.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's important.
You know, I'll get
that's
over
only
that.
Two Human. Every single thing you change on Two Human changes the look of your character.
And that's one of the things. And most dungeon crawlers of late do that, you know? So it's something that I was hoping would be there, and it's not, and I was surprised. Let's see. The last thing I'm going to mention is, I didn't really play Phantasy Star Portable, but I've been talking about the fact that I was going to make a guide for the Japanese demo, and I finally went through and made that and put it up on VG Evo. So if you guys are still interested in looking into the demo for Phantasy Star Portable, there's a guide of how to make a character and get into the multi-mode and actually play missions and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So go check that out. It's on VG Evo, and I promise you won't be disappointed. It's pretty cool.
Cool. Cool. Yeah.
But let's see. That's about it.
That's it.
A lot of Bionic Commando this week. That's most where most of my time was spent.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, I was going to say, Jason, you do downloaded Street Fighter Alpha for on PSN, right?
I did,
so
yeah.
Did I. I forgot to talk about that because I basically only downloaded it because I got the arcade stick. Is it just me or is that game a lot more glitchy than you remember it?
A lot more?
Well, not no, a lot more, but as... yeah, I don't remember it being glitchy at all. And then I was like playing it, like, oh my god, this is just fucked. Why did I buy this?
What are you talking about specifically?
Little things like when you're doing a fireball with like Ken, he does like it looks like two frames of animation of it looks like he's going to punch someone and then all of a sudden the fireball comes. It's just weird. And it's like,
I think those were prevalent in the regular PlayStation version, which is just subpar to like the Saturn version and whatnot.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I was going to mention that the Saturn version is
a lot better.
Much better. Yeah. There's a lot more frames of animation and that kind of thing, just because the Saturn was so good at doing 2D. Mm-hmm. So because
I was hoping they.
On the other hand, it's still totally playable though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I still own the disc. You know, I still own it for PS1. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I downloaded that and I was like, wow, I paid $6 for this. I should have just walked to the store and bought this Alpha Anthology or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But then you'd have to pop in a disc.
That's true, exactly.
I'm a Capcom fanboy, so I got it, and Street Fighter fanboy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Probably wasn't the wisest purchase.
Yeah, whatever. So, is it online? No, probably not. Of course not. It's a dumb question. No. Moving on.
That would have been awesome.
The PS1 games online is about as likely as the Wii Virtual Console games online. True so that. There you go. Cool. Well, I guess we're done. Jeff, why don't you give us some news then?
I always forget I have something to do. Never ready. Okay. Some news.
You have one job, Jeff. Come
I know.
On.
I'm just like all comfortable in my recliner, you know, almost falling asleep.
In your boxers.
In my boxers, exactly.
You had to bring that up again.
Okay, yeah. Mortal Storm 2 demo supposed to be coming out in a few months, actually. But if you're a Core subscriber, or if you pick up next month's version of Core, which I guess would be September, you'll get the Mortal Storm 2 demo a month early. So all you Core subscribers, or people who just buy it monthly, like to throw your money away, you can get Mortal Storm 2 a month early.
Which is pretty cool, I guess. This is obviously what they meant by exclusive content, I guess. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Oh, you get stuff a little bit early.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we expected it to be, right?
Pretty much.
When we talked about it.
I just don't like how Sony danced around something... first. Like, when it was announced, they're like, well, we're not saying that people were getting, like, you know, it's not going to be exclusive, like, demos or whatnot and all this other crap. And then all of a sudden, like, literally the first month they had Core, it was like, hey, you got it free, or you get into this earlier, or get into this earlier, this demo early. Just be honest. Mm-hmm. We all knew it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we knew it wasn't going to be much different from the way Xbox Live Silver and Xbox Live Gold does it. So it's like, why not just come out and say it? It's already been done.
Exactly.
It's not like you're going to be the first person that's doing this to people that don't throw money at you, you know? So you're not throwing us money. You have to wait a month for this demo. You know, it's.
And if you want to throw away money, you can pick up Tales of Vesperia for Xbox 360, because apparently Namco...
Well done!
It kind of takes it away, Chris, when you comment every time.
Gotta I'm sorry, that was just really... That was a really good one. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Have you been practicing?
No, actually. I'm trying to get this flying by the seat of my pants here. Okay. Yeah,
really?
Now
wow.
You guys are making me fucking nervous. Seriously, shut up.
No. He's flying by the seat of his boxers.
I'm just kidding.
No pressure.
Just busting
pressure.
Balls. But Namco is going to give players the opportunity to actually pay real money to get stuff in-game. I accidentally hotlinked this one incorrectly, so I can't find the exact thing. But I know it's something like $2 can level your guys up in your party 10 levels, which to me sounds ridiculous for a single-player game. But hey, you can also pay, I think it's about $3 for the equivalent of like 300,000 gold or something like that. I'm not sure if you guys managed to find the actual story, since I... not linked incorrectly, but
I'm actually looking for it right now, but you can continue.
And basically it's a bunch of little microtransactions that you can pay for and get things in the actual game, whether it being equipment, gold, level up your characters, that sort of thing.
Yeah, here you go. It's 300 Microsoft points will get you 10 levels.
Yeah, that's it.
200 Microsoft points will get you 5 levels. 300 Microsoft points will get you 300,000 gold, and you can get skill sets for 80 Microsoft points. and an HP recovery cuisine recipe set for 100 Microsoft points. So it's like, it's going back to like what they did with, what was it, Need for Speed, where you could pay to unlock shit early. And yeah, that's kind of what this is. It's like, if you don't want to sit there and grind, you can pay us $4 and we'll up your level 10, you know, exactly. 10 levels. It's just retarded.
And people will do it. I don't think they should even offer this.
Oh, no doubt people will do it.
I'd rather do that. Be like, you know, I'm just going to pay $10 and have my characters like 100 or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I can just breeze through the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at that point, it's like, why'd you even buy the fucking game? You know, it's, I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying that I will do it or anything. I'm not even going to get the game, I don't think. But sometimes I just want to experience the game and not have to go through all the tedious grinding.
That is true, and but
yeah, maybe I'd plunk
down
$5,
if there is
to,
tedious grinding,
yeah, you don't know if there is yet.
You don't necessarily know there's tedious grinding right now, so it is a Tales game, so I wouldn't be surprised. But
I can certainly say that in some games, I would have paid $10 to just max out my stuff
and just play
just
the
so
game
I can go through it.
Yeah, and also it'd make more sense in an MMO setting too, though. Like, say you can't play it for about a month, and all your friends are playing, they all go up 10 levels, and like, crap, I don't want to be this much lower and, you know, pay $3 to level up 10. But it still sounds, I don't know, it's a little bit ridiculous to me. And as much as I sit here and bitch about it and say it's retarded, I'm pretty sure there'd be a couple times I'd actually seriously think about doing something like that just because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
It depends on how much grinding there would be. I'll tell you one thing. And I, you know, we talked about this a bit when we were talking about the Phantasy Star Collection that came out. That Phantasy Star 2 was really hard because it was such a grind fest.
Yeah, and then now.
I think back to that game, and if I had this kind of option for that game, I would probably do it. Because that game was a bitch.
It was.
So.
Duke Nukem was rumored for a long time to be coming to Xbox Live Arcade. It's been officially announced to be hitting in September. A lot of people... You didn't like Duke Nukem? What? Come on, Jason.
15 years ago, was it?
Yes. 10 years ago? How long ago was Doom? That still kicks ass.
Yeah, but they've had other Dooms since then. So they've had other Doom games since then.
Yeah, but still. I mean, come on.
Well, they've had a few other Duke games. Anyway.
Yeah, but they've just been whatever. But I like Doom. But then again, I haven't played it. Actually, last time I played it, I think, was for Sega Saturn. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But hey, people like it. I would rather it be Quake, actually, to tell you the truth. Because Quake was pretty badass. But yeah, it is finally coming in September. And Xbox Live.
I think it's at the point now that they can't bring out anything besides the new Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Without meeting, you know.
Well, it's usually a big sign, though. Usually when a game is coming out or announced for Xbox Live Arcade, usually the sequel or the follow-up game that is usually not too far behind it. So that could, maybe that
sometimes
means something.
An indicator. Yeah, I agree.
So
hopefully.
Who knows? My expectations are anywhere for that game, actually. It's been way too long.
Yeah. That one's dropped off.
Yeah. And most Xbox Live Arcade games seem to control like garbage with their D-pad, because I think we all bought Bionic Commando for PS3, right? Mainly because of the D-pad.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? 360 is actually getting a new D-pad in their controller.
Woohoo!
Yep, it's going to have about 32 directional inputs on the D-pad, so that's a lot more than I think the original 8 that are on the original one. But wait, this isn't coming out in North America.
Wait.
And it's only for a limited time.
What?
That's right.
What? No. What?
Yeah, I know. Yes. Oh. Yes. And it's actually not being designed for games like the, you know, like the Street Fighters or the 2D action platformers that would need or require a good D-pad. It's being actually made for Konami's new soccer game. Can't remember what the soccer franchise is called at the moment.
Evolution?
Sorry. Yeah, Evolution.
Isn't that it?
Soccer Kickers 2009.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's only coming out in Europe and possibly like areas like Brazil and stuff like that, where the game is actually really popular and only for a limited time.
Yeah.
So if you want one, I don't get it either. This is something that like most people would want. And you know what? I don't see why they wouldn't just implement it into the controllers and then just put them into circulation. I don't get why they couldn't just do that.
They will, I'm sure. I don't see why they'd go through all the trouble of, you know, designing new hardware just to have it really be limited. It's limited edition right now.
I'm sure
like a next generation controller it'll be out.
But what doesn't make sense to
for the time being,
WTF.
Starting a new one.
What the fuck? I'm in. Let's do it. Starting next week.
See, it is interesting that they're doing, how many inputs?
It's 32 or something like that on the D-pad, yeah.
Wow. It's like, we don't want you to use the
analog
stick.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's 3D soccer.
You know,
game.
I mean...
Why don't they use analog?
Right. It's for a soccer game. You should be using... I would be using the analog stick anyway. But it sounds like they're just trying to take that out of the... Well, I guess they're trying to give the consumer a choice of which they want to use. And since the D-pad wasn't really a viable choice up to now...
Yeah.
They decided to fix that.
Exactly.
So.
Well, if you want to upgrade, if you want the redesigned D-pad, it's going to be released probably alongside with the game sometime this fall. So if you want to import that baby, go for it for a limited time. And while you're on that site to import, you might want to import or get early the new PSP redesign as well, since there's another one coming 1 year after the last one.
No.
Sorry?
Jeff, that's
I was
a good transition,
really surprised
but no,
at this.
You can't import the PSP stuff anymore.
Why not?
I'm just saying. That's why Lixang died, man. Because they were importing, you know, or exporting, I guess, at that point. And they got shut down. Sony just not like that.
Yeah, okay, well. Okay, so. Don't import. Oh, yeah. Don't import. Just wait for it to come out here. The PSP 3000. It's going to be the same size as the PSP Slim and roughly the same weight. The two big improvements are an improved LCD screen. It is LCD, isn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. LCD screen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to have better, basically, color balancing and saturation and whatnot, and it just work better outdoors, basically. If you're in the sun, it's going to be less glare.
Cool. That is cool.
So that's pretty cool. I personally, myself, I don't care about this because I never play my PSP outside. So, And it's going to have a built-in microphone as well. So for all those people who have PSP in their Skype and who don't have mic, it's going to be built-in if you want to pick that up. And it's hitting in October. Yeah.
Same design as the Slim?
Exact same design as the Slim.
Cool. There we go. I haven't picked up a Slim yet, so maybe I'll
eyes
out for this one.
Good deal.
Another bit of news. This is kind of interesting. I got actually really excited when I saw this. It's the new Guitar Hero World Tour set list. It's not confirmed, but it's been coming from many different outlets, and basically people are saying it pretty much is the final set list for the songs. There's still some bands in here that make me think might not be really getting there. Well, you guys are looking at the list right now. At least I hope you guys are. What are some standouts in here for you guys? I know definitely Chris is looking at 311 right there and Lost Prophets.
Absolutely.
Creaming his pants.
311 and Lost Prophets equal Chris will buy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Everlong from Foo Fighters helps a lot. So does Hey Man, Nice Show.
Yes, that's going to be awesome.
So there's a pretty good number of songs on here that make me pretty excited. But there's others like that I'm just surprised that they're on here in general. You know, it's Tool for one, and I think you were mentioning that before the show. It's like they're so strict about licensing their music.
They don't license their music.
I guess
that's
I'm just
scaring
surprised.
Me. I'm like, either if they have Tool, I want them to do it right. I don't want them to be covering it. Also, who can cover Tool and actually sound like them, because they're pretty complex, and I don't think I've really ever heard a band cover them that actually sounded good. So I'm hoping if they are on there, it is the actual recordings, the master recordings. But like I said, like Tool, just they don't license their music really to anybody. So if they actually got them, you know, kudos to Activision, because that's pretty huge in my books anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this the other thing that makes this easier for me to take as far as like a buy is the fact that you don't have this in the news, so I'm just going to throw it out there since we're talking about Guitar Hero now as it is, that Sony pretty much broke down and said, hey, look, all these peripherals need to work for all of the games.
Awesome.
And Sony finally did it. I mean, I know that at E3, Activision was saying that the 360 Guitar Hero stuff would work with Rock Band and or vice versa. I don't remember how they did it.
Now, is this going to be the next generation of peripherals?
It's
like for I think they were Tour saying that like too. The current Rock Band stuff will work with Guitar Hero.
That would be awesome.
I think they will, because really literally, I think it was just basically in the software. I said you have to block out these peripherals. Like they'd probably easily just patch that and take it away and be like, okay, now they can work.
Hopefully, yeah.
And yeah, because both Sony and then now Konami actually came out and said that everything will work, and Konami needs as much help as they can get, because I don't think Rock Revolution or whatever is going to sell a lick compared to either of the other two. So.
No, especially considering, and actually, I meant to mention this a minute ago when you were saying about Tool, whether they're going to have someone cover them or not. Didn't Activision say that all of them are going to be master tracks?
Sure.
Or by the band, at least. So if Tool's on here, I would hope that stands true.
So do I.
Yeah, but we'll see.
So do I.
But the Rock Band and Guitar Hero, both of them said that they're all going to be master tracks, whereas Rock Revolution did not say that. So they're taking the cheap way out, and I just don't think people are going to go for it.
No.
I mean, I was interested at one point because they said their drum pad was going to be like seven pads, And
it looked ridiculous.
But the seven pads are laid out so crappy.
Yep.
That I don't even know how I would be able to play it. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Now, some other cool bands on here is actually, what's it called? Where's At the Drive-In. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but they're pretty badass. They actually broke up, and one half of the band formed Sparta, and the other half was Mars Volta, and their song One Arm Scissor is on there. That was like their big single, basically. And actually, Mars Volta is actually on this list as well. Korn's on there, although it is Freak on a Leash. If it was any Korn, I'd rather be when they were somewhat good back in their first, or either Life is Peachy or their self-titled album. But hey, there's some good stuff on here, though. I'm pretty excited. I went from possibly buying Guitar Hero to this is probably going to be day one purchase for me, just for the drums on most of these.
Yeah, the set list looks pretty good. There's some bands on here that are just like it's surprising to see them, but then the song is even more surprising. It's like, why would Creedence do Coming Up Around the Bend? That doesn't really work.
But nothing compares to the fact that we've got Willie Nelson.
Bon Jovi, man.
Right.
Living
That's
in
all
a
that matters. We got Willie Nelson.
And Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, Michael Jackson with Eddie Van Halen,
Beat It. Right.
Hey, Jason, there is another Paramore song.
I know. That's cool.
Yeah, and Misery Business. I'm all about that.
I don't have to make that hard decision on which is going to have Eye of the Tiger. So both Rock Band 2 and Guitar Hero are going to have it. So I'm going to be...
And I'm actually kind of excited. A guilty pleasure of mine is I actually really like Linkin Park. I know, don't make fun of me, but the two songs are two songs that, although they're not their best songs, but those are two songs that would be really fun to play on the instruments and really fun in a big group of people, since almost everyone would know the words to that, and it would be pretty crazy, I think.
Cool.
What I've done is a little played out right now. I'd like to take a break from that song, but I don't mind Linkin Park. I think they're pretty good.
I thought they're all right.
I don't listen to the radio much, so whenever I do hear them, it's still somewhat new. So they're okay.
Makes sense.
I would like to. I wish there's a way to block songs from being played, because I would make sure that Smashing Pumpkins never got played.
Thank you.
I wonder if they have a mechanic in the game where if you're singing Smashing Pumpkins, you have to hold your nose or something like that.
Sound all whiny and nasally.
Today is a great. Ooh, Silver Sun Pickups. I love them a lot. They're on here. That's cool.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Cool.
October. I'm really excited. When I heard the news that Activision was dropping Ghostbusters and Brutal Legend and Wet and those games, I was like, you know what? I really hope that this by in no way affects the release dates of Spyro the Dragon and the next Crash game, because they're also under Activision, and I thought that would just be heartbreaking to find out if, you know, they drop these other games and they might drop these ones. But no, we found out that they kept these games on there because, you know, and Crash.
That's
right?
Fantastic. I
mean, them versus Brutal Legend and Ghostbusters, I mean, come on. Like, for real.
Who gives a shit about those? And Wet, too. I mean, I don't give a shit about those. I'd much rather play Spyro and Crash.
Exactly. And it looks like Activision have put in a lot of resources, a lot of their team, and the game's going to be both of them coming out in October. So they're going to hit
in time
for the fall.
They're good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I wonder if they put the teams from Brutal Engine and Ghostbusters onto these games.
I'd hope so, because that would be my number one priority if I was Activision, for sure. That and Call of Duty. I mean, they're obviously putting them in.
And I bet that development team is sitting there working on Spyro and Crash, and they've just got to be thinking,
Who gives a shit? Yeah. That's big news.
I have to agree with your logic on this one. Yeah. Why would you cancel Brutal Legend, Ghostbusters, and Wet, but keep Spyro and Crash? I mean, I guess
it
makes
sense
from
a Crash in-house?
No. I don't think they're in-house.
They are, but
let me just take a look. Because Spyro was made... Well, Crash was originally started by Insomniac, right?
Right.
And then they sold it off
to... I don't know about that. Crash was Naughty
Dog,
wasn't
it? Naughty Dog, not Insomniac, yeah. I always get those two mixed up.
Spyro was Insomniac, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. They had the right idea and they sold them off to, I guess, someone in Activision. Actually, you know what? They probably are in-house. So, I don't know.
I understand that they're moneymakers.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know Spyro. I didn't know anyone still gave a shit about those games at all. But apparently they still sell. enough.
I don't think they're nearly as big as they were. Mm-hmm. But they do still sell, I believe. But I still can't understand why they let go of the other games.
I guess it's probably just guaranteed. I guess they probably say, you know what? Listen, we need a guaranteed profit. Let's throw these games together. They're going to sell X amount of copies, which is going to bring us X amount of money. Whereas, you know, Brutal Legend and Ghostbusters are kind of a crapshoot. Well, Ghostbusters probably would sell a lot, but then they probably have to spend a lot more money on licensing fees and stuff like that. So probably like screw that. But I'm happy. I mean, I get my Spyro one crashed, so whatever. Yeah. I can wait for the other two.
Good deal.
It looks like Insomniac did the first three Spyros. Okay. Spyro, Spyro 2, and Spyro Year of the Dragon. Yeah. So yeah, it was there.
Crazy stuff. But that was your news for the week. Awesome. I could have went into detail with all the other Leipzig stuff, but there really wasn't really that much stuff that was exciting there. So I was like, and probably, you know what, we came out on Monday, like, everyone already read the stuff last week, so it'd be all...
Pretty much. We could sit here and we could talk about another PS3 SKU!
We could.
Woohoo!
160 gig, hitting Europe. There. Over. Done.
Yeah, whatever. And there's still no backwards compatibility. You know, fuck you guys. That software backwards compatibility patch better be coming soon. Because I'm worried that if I ever, if my PS3, God forbid, ever happens to die, or if I ever want to buy another one, I can't get it with backwards compatibility anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I have a 60 gig. I have full backwards compatibility. If I need to get it repaired, are you going to repair it and send me back the same system?
No,
I would hope so.
That's what I would want. I would call them and say, I want this machine back.
Oh, Dizzy from VGU, his months. Broke down, I believe, and he's getting a 60 gig back.
Yeah. He is getting a 60 gig back?
So,
okay, good. That's good to know.
Probably a refurb, that's but still, I'd rather get one of those back than...
Seriously, I don't care, as long as it's the same SKU. Because, I mean, that's why I went and got the 60 gig, because I didn't want to lose my BC, my backwards compatibility.
No, I hear you, man. So. On that note, let's take a break.
Cool.
All right, coming up.
Let's do that. When we come back, we'll talk about Bayonetta Commando, new releases, listen to email, and question of the week. So stay tuned. We'll
Sounds
be right
good.
Back.
All right. Flip side.
2-2.
Right back at you.
It's time to wake up.
Hey, everyone. My name's Dale Coolis, and I am host of the podcast On Tap, found on the VG EVO Podcast Network or on our new website at ontappodcast.com. And our podcast is a video game alternative podcast. You know, there's a ton of other awesome podcasts that cover the latest happenings of the industry well. So what we do is we focus on reviews, retro reviews, roundtable discussions, and we even make sure to talk about a lot of the dreaded pile of video game movies. If you want to give your iPod or other audio device of your choice something different to listen to, check us out. Look for us on the VG EVO Podcast Network or ontappodcast.com. Thanks.
This role-playing game, out in 2004, returns to the world of Azeroth, where heroes like Leroy Jenkins do battle. And that would be the world of Warcraft.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because your limited online game time should not be ruined by douchebags.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goos of VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
They lost their hero to the enemy. They went looking for the perfect soldier to rescue him. They found some guy who couldn't even jump. Let me tell you about the man I met when I was young.
Mr. Joe, I'm here to rescue you.
This year, a new hero will rise. A mechanical arm will extend. And heads.
Your number's up, monster!
Will explode.
Get the heck out of here, you nerd!
Bring him to join up behind him!
Dog of the Federation!
I'm not gonna make it!
I will take over your army and rule the world!
Just when you thought 2D gaming was over and done, it's brought back to life as if it was a long-dead World War II dictator resurrected by a madman as part of a plan for world domination.
Self-destruction sequence activated.
Two times the action. Two times the excitement. Two-thirds the dimensions. Bionic Commando rearmed. For the fans, by a bunch of other fans.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing better that my Audacity files are okay. Like, right as we stopped recording the first half, Audacity crashed on me and I had to recover all my temp files.
But and I'm really sorry that I didn't keep recording.
Oh, God. Yeah, you guys missed a great Jason rant. It was awesome.
Oh, I was pissed. I hate that.
Lick my balls! I was,
sweaty balls because I haven't showered yet today.
Oh, that's not right. Okay. 3 o'clock in the afternoon and Jason's talking about how he hasn't showered yet.
That's awesome.
Well, I got up early to research stuff, so.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was more concerned about the show. That's the wonderful thing about podcasting is you can't see how grimy gross and nasty I am right now. Yeah. You can only imagine.
And that's what I'm doing.
Check, please. Cool. Well, we're going to talk about Bionic Commando a little bit. And I know we've all been playing Rearmed like mad because it's fucking awesome. But we're going to talk about Bionic Commando as a whole and how we feel about the resurrection of the franchise and things like that. But first, let's talk about the emails that we got. Jason, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that. So cool. Yeah, a lot of them are focused on just the Rearmed, which is fine. So. But I'll just jump right in.
No problem.
First one is from Dizzy. He says,
"Nice.
Since I didn't play the original Bionic Commando, the new Rearmed doesn't have the nostalgia for me. Just a somewhat interesting gameplay. It's beautiful, fun, etc., and it's greater than the sum of its parts. Seeing as the swinging is such an integral part of the gameplay, it doesn't work very well. I don't know. I'm just not very good at it. That could explain it. I'll practice and see if my opinion changes." He's got more, but I'm going to get that in the regular email segment.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool.
Well, I can tell you it definitely does take some practice.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yes. You definitely have to get used to when to shoot the arm out, what direction to shoot the arm out. It's like I still have trouble. Like there's a by the way, we may get into some spoilers, but this is a game that came out 20 years ago. So,
yeah,
there's that boss at the hell is it? The Fabricator at the end of the sewer level, I think.
Okay, is that the one with the...
The giant ring that shoots out spikes.
Okay, yes.
That sticks you in the middle of it. Yep. I still fuck that up all the time.
Because you don't deflect it?
Yeah, because I'll always, I'll point the wrong direction when the needle comes at me or whatever. And,
right from your left?
No, it's not even that. It's one of those things where your head sees something and it doesn't register right, and especially because there's two at the bottom on each side. You have to determine whether you're standing or ducking. So a lot of times, those are the ones that get me the most. And a lot of times
in the easier levels, it's only on the bottom level that it's only
you're
one
playing
spike.
On easy, aren't you, Jason?
No, actually, I went back and I played it through medium as well, and then we beat it on hard, and then I'm trying super hard right now, which is not going very well at all. Holy shit. That sucks.
What's it like?
They
one
shoot
hit
diagonally
death?
Now.
They shoot diagonally?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
You're no longer safe, like right above them. They'll shoot,
fuck.
They'll shoot diagonally. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you don't get two? That's not fair.
Two hits kill you. I mean, and it takes a shitload of bullets to put them down. And the bosses are just fucking nasty. It's so hard.
Hmm.
I hate it.
I can't believe you guys have already gone through the game already.
I actually haven't. I'm at area 6, which is the really annoying one where you have to go from lamppost to lamppost. Probably
that's the one I'm on.
Yeah,
no, wait,
it's
hold on.
If I remember, like from when I played the old one, that was the hardest level in the fucking game. If I remember right,
is this the one I'm on? Which one is okay? Is the one where you're going vertically? Is that 6?
No. No, that's, I don't remember.
Tell you. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is the one where if you're swinging from lamppost to lamppost, and if you miss, you fall in the water and you die, pretty much.
I think that might be the one I'm on, actually.
It's where, it's right after you get the rocket launcher, I think?
Yeah, okay, I think that's where I am at, or just after that.
Yeah, and I know on that stage, you get the souped-up grapple arm.
Okay, I haven't got
that yet. Yeah, which is what lets you grab
people's
enemies and throw them. I actually got to play co-op finally over the weekend with our buddy John, and we played co-op up to level 6, and we finished level 6, and then we went back to, there's like a level that requires the souped up grapple arm to move on. And we did that just so we could throw around the enemies a little bit, and then we shut it off and he had to go.
That's cool.
But yeah, good stuff. But definitely take some practice, Dizzy, so keep at it.
It does. You know what? Yeah. Do the challenge rooms. Those help out a lot with that kind of thing.
Yeah, like the advanced training missions and stuff.
Yeah.
That would definitely help.
And do the challenge rooms, and definitely do the training at the beginning on the on stage zero. That'll help you a lot too.
Yeah, I mean the whole no jump thing has got to come as a shock to people who haven't played the original game.
Right,
it's got to be so hard to wrap your head around. You know, why can't you jump in this fucking platforming game? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the metal arm seems a little clunky at first, but man, when you get it down, that thing is it's kind of weird to say, but it's like elegant in the way that you move.
Yeah,
you know,
it
when
really
you're
is.
Swinging through an entire level, and it's just so cool.
Yeah.
So once you get it down, it's fun as all hell. But it does take practice. Holy shit.
Yeah, just keep at it, and yeah, you'll get it. You'll get it. But it's definitely a fun game, and yeah, I'm glad to hear that people who haven't played the old one are picking this one up and enjoying it, because it makes me feel better about, because it's like you start playing the game, and I know we kind of touched on this last week, and it's like I love this game, but do I love it because because of the nostalgia? Do I love it because it's a great game? And you know, the more I play it, the more I realize that it is a great game, and that's why I love it. So that's cool.
I think I told a story last week. Like my friend had it, and we didn't get that far at all in the game. I think maybe like the third level, because I don't know. We had to find some item we couldn't find. I don't know. We're young. Who cares? Doesn't matter. We're retarded. But so I didn't really have a great memory of it besides the levels that we did play. I thought were amazing, even though we didn't get too far. And I still had these super high, you know, memories of or fond memories of the game when I didn't really play that much. And then when I played Rearmed, I was like, oh, this game's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the co-op stuff in particular, because, yeah, when Kel and I got into some of the later stages and, you know, we'd have to go through them multiple times because we'd end up dying or whatever, you know, we'd get so used to the level that we were, like, racing through it, and, you know, all of our movements were, like, synchronized and stuff, and, like, we knew which, you know, switch that I'd wait at and he'd go to a different one, and it was just good. The co-op is done so well.
Oh, man, and the bosses on co-op are fantastic.
Yeah, they actually changed their strategy.
Yeah, they changed their strategy altogether.
Particularly the first one, you know, he's only open on the top or bottom at any given time. So you need to actually synchronize up, like one person on the top, one on the bottom, and like the top guy has to throw theirs just before the guy in the bottom does.
Right.
And if someone dies and you're left with one person, then his strategies go back.
Right. So to the
they're really
player.
Smart about it.
Yeah, that's cool. Really cool. And the fabricator that I was just talking about, when you're playing with two players, two of them shoot out. So now you both have to be synced up in time. And, you know, John and I, when we played that stage, we died once, and it was my fault, I'll be honest with you, because I totally missed like three of mine. And it was like, damn it, I'm sorry. It's the game feels really good in co-op. It's just, it's natural that way. It really is. And man, I would have paid triple and waited another like 2 or 3 months for this to be online co-op, because I would love to just boot it up and be like, awesome. Hey, Jason, let's play. You know, that'd be awesome.
I know. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm really missing from the game. Oh, that was so disappointing. Anyway, let's do some more emails here.
Yeah, let's go.
Got one from, let's see. Looks like Uncle Remus. Cool.
Awesome. Cool.
I've been playing the demo a lot, and I just finished playing it 5 times with my 6.5-year-old. And it's really nice to get that old school feel at a new package. The controls are crisper than I remember from the old game, which is great. Simplicity is awesome sometimes. Who needs jump? I love playing the older style games because it makes me appreciate how lucky we are with the complex control schemes and graphics of today's games. I believe I'll be buying this one, but 1942 is pretty darn fun too. Decisions. Bionic Hope Commando. The show goes well. Later. Uncle Remus.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bionic Commando.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally Bionic Commando.
Bionic Commando.
Yeah, the game, it's cool. Like, it's an old cool game that isn't much to it, but it has so much challenge there. You're actually concentrating on the game, though. How do I beat this part? How do I get past this obstacle? And the fact that there's not a lot of maintenance to the actual game. You're not keeping an eye on inventory. You're not switching stuff around. I like how they have now fast, you can change your weapons by a click of the button or your items, which is awesome. You don't have to go into menu system, and yep. made it so much simpler, but yet the game at the same time is still complex as hell, really, in some mm-hmm. aspects. And it's just kind of like a breath of fresh air, even though it's an old experience.
The thing that I really like is the fact that they actually let you have all of your weapons at one time. You can switch weapons.
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
Because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times that it's like in the old one where I would go in and it's like, all right, I know I need the rocket launcher for this stage. And you're walking mm-hmm. around and, you know, the rocket launcher, you can shoot it once and then you can't shoot it again until that bullet is mm-hmm. off the screen, whether it hits someone or whether it, you know, flies off the edge or what. But you can't mm-hmm. shoot it again until that happens. And it's like, I want to switch back to the revolver so I can fire like two or three times at least. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, the other bonus to that is, yeah, you mentioned it whenever you started in the old game, you know, whenever you started a stage, you'd go through a setup screen where you had to choose, you know, one of each particular, you know, type of weapon or accessory or something like that. And that was especially frustrating with like communicator chips, because you get certain colored communicator chips in the first game, and then only some of them would work in certain stages. But considering now that everything's on your inventory and everything's equipped at all times, makes it a hell of a lot easier. So it took away all that really frustrating, meticulous, mundane shit about, you know, the frustrating inventory system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did away with it. It's all better now. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. Cool. Oh,
yeah.
Another email.
What do we got here? Who's this from? I don't know who it's from. Diesel. Who's Diesel? Okay.
Diesel's
a listener of ours. He's also VG awesome, too, because he emailed us.
Yeah, so. I think he's a new member of VG Evo, so.
Cool. Well, welcome, sir.
Welcome.
Welcome.
What up in this? I'm thrilled by the new iteration of Bionic Commando.
Iterations,
I'm sorry. I thought Bionic Commando rearmed immediately, or I bought Bionic Commando rearmed immediately after it became available on the PSN, and have been playing it every day since then. I grew up playing the original and was happy to see that so little has really changed. It was amazing how much it felt like the original, but the updated graphics made it so much better. In regards to the true 3D version being made, not as excited, but I'm still looking forward to it. It seems a bit Spider-Man-ish, but I haven't seen much on that game as of yet. I really want to see how they plan to keep the original, or the feel of the original, in a full 3D game while still being innovative. Thanks for the podcast, Diesel. P.S. I love it when heads explode.
that Can't was a big controversy, too, heads. With this game.
No, I'm sorry. Did you guys beat Rearmed?
No.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Back in the day, Bionic Commando... And yes, the spoiler, whatever.
Hitler's head explodes.
Yes. Yeah, Hitler's head explodes, right? And that was controversial for the time, but they kept that.
Nice.
And they made it better and cooler, if it's even possible.
Really?
More graphic. Yeah, they just totally amped it up. So
cool.
I remember when I played through the first one, at the end, like the mm-hmm. when you fight the boss, he says damn or something. It actually... In the story, like in the script,
yeah,
it says damn,
too.
And I was like, oh my god, he said damn in a video game. You know, it was one of those. It was huge. It's like, oh, he swore. He actually cussed.
Yeah.
And now it's like Gears of War, where they say shit every other word.
Do they?
Pretty much.
Not really.
I don't think I noticed that.
Okay. He does say shit. Yeah, and I think they dropped the F-bomb once or twice.
I'm exaggerating, of course, but
oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Or maybe Play the Darkness. You want to hear a lot of cursing? Play the Darkness.
Oh, yeah?
That's got dope. Oh, well. Like every second word.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the new 3D stuff? Just to sidetrack a little bit. You guys excited at all?
I'm excited, but what they need to focus on and what is going to still make that a great game is if they focus on the swinging and still have that a very important mechanic to the game. I hope it's not just another 3D action game with that thrown in for something cool. Like, I want it... Like, I know they added jumping in it. You can jump now. Mm-hmm. But I just hope that swing is still the main way to get everywhere, and a lot of gameplay comes from it. I hope there's some bosses where you're fighting where you're constantly swinging, that kind of thing. Or,
yeah, the swinging has to be a necessity in the game.
Exactly.
As far as the gameplay goes.
It has to be tough, I think. Well, not tough.
I don't think
it has
to
be more
tough,
interactive than, say, like in Assassin's Creed when you're running up a wall or something.
Yes.
Where that was just like a glorified cutscene, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in this it needs to be a little more interactive.
Yeah,
yeah. From watching some of the videos, it looks really good. I mean, it's like whenever you're swinging, it'll like a little reticule will show up on the next thing that your arm can hook to, Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when you shoot out your arm, it hooks to that, like, tree branch or whatever it might be. So it looks like they're doing the best they can to keep that arcadey feel mm-hmm. to it and still put it in that 3D environment. So I am cautiously optimistic about the 3D version, and I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, and yeah, the multiplayer does look interesting. The versus multiplayer looks kind of.
Oh,
cool.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't see how many elements are being brought in from the old game aside from the swinging and the claw. Mm-hmm. Like, everything seems different to me. So yeah, I'm a little skeptical, but.
And at first, I was kind of like, I don't know, why does he have these like dreadlocks and stuff? Why'd they make him look all whatever? But then they basically said they wanted something to show off the motion when you're swinging, which I guess makes sense. The guy's hair's flowing in the wind or whatever, but whatever. They could have just put some crazy scarf like Shinobi around the guy or something. That'll show it. Give him a cape. No, I'm kidding.
No.
But actually, you know that I'm pretty sure because you download Rearmed, I'm pretty sure that automatically gets you the DLC for the old character model, right?
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah, it's kind of going for a while. Yeah, if you look under the options and the unlocked things that you have, it says, you know, like an original costume. And I'm like, how do I switch to my original costume in Rearmed? But no, yeah, it read up on it a little bit. And you'll be able to use the character model from Rearmed in the new Bionic Commando game.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. That is cool.
See, I love when companies integrate their games that way. Like, they'll unlock something special for the, if you have a save game or something like that. I dig that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, dig it. Me too. High fives.
Right. I got one more email here. This one's from Shorty's on PSN. What is he on VG Evo? I think it's EAZTK, something like that.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Sure. All right. We'll go with that.
First off, I'd like to say I am new to Bionic Commando and didn't play the original back in the day. Maybe I was too young. But when Rearmed was announced, I was very interested in playing the original NES game on my PSP. Arr. So naughty. Anyway.
Jason.
I don't know if it's just me, but that game kicks my arse. But the overall feel of the game is great. Swinging around, ducking, shooting dudes. And of course, the music is pretty awesome, too. Fuck yeah, it is.
Music is fantastic.
I bought Rearmed as soon as I could, and I'm just blown away with it. It has the feel of a high-quality full-price game, and that's fantastic. Before now, I wasn't too hyped for the 3D Bionic Commando, but now I'm looking forward to it. I mean, if they put so much time or so much into a downloadable, I can't wait to see what they have done with the new Bionic Commando.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Great show, guys. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thanks. That's a good point. You know, they put a lot of effort into this game. You know, I hope they put, you know, a significant... Mm-hmm. You know,
well, this was developed by what, Grin, right?
They're like, and I think the new one is too.
They don't have
a
whole lot of titles under their belt.
No,
but you can definitely see how much love they put into this. Like, you can tell they were fans of the original.
Absolutely.
They weren't
doubt.
Just like getting a cash grab or nothing.
Exactly.
And
like,
apparently,
you know, all the in-game humor, you know, they poked fun at some of the original dialogue. They poked fun at some of the original items and stuff. You know, some of the cheesy stuff. They kept that in. You know, spotlighted it and just kind of made fun of it. So it was self-deprecating to a certain degree, but in a loving way, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we know there's some crampy stuff in the game, but whatever. We'll make fun of it. But exactly. I don't know.
Like, they were in an interview with someone, I can't remember who it was, and they basically said that they've been wanting to do this actually for a while, and they kept going to Capcom basically like, listen, like, we want to do this, and Capcom kept toning them down, saying, you know what, there's no market for it. The first game apparently didn't sell that well. Especially like in Japan and stuff. And then after years and years, finally, like, okay, you know what? Do it. Here's like, you know, a little bit of a budget. Go for it. Do what you can do, and we'll see. So basically, this game, they put their heart and soul in. And depending on how much it sells, we'll basically see how much further they can go with the series. Because I would love to see a sequel to Rearmed, like a new side scroller with the same mechanics.
Definitely. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Stuff would be amazing. And they kept it true to the original. They're like, you know what? It was good enough on its own. Let's just upgrade the graphics. We'll update the bosses here and there. They even kept those top-down levels annoyingly the same.
Well, no. The top-down levels they've got stuff added to them.
Like, do they?
Yeah, because the top-down levels in the original, you just ran through, blew up some guys, and at the end, there was a truck, and you just ran inside the truck.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
This one, you actually, you know, you have to... There's trucks on the sides, you know, spawning enemies, and... at the end of each of the rounds, there's the guy in the motorcycle, and then there's a truck that you blow up. You don't actually just run into it. So they did do that. But yeah, it's relatively the same.
Those are the only things I don't really like about the game. I just think they're pointless.
Those levels. I don't mind them so much.
Like, no, they're not,
there's
they're
an extra life on each one, so you just go and grab the extra life and
get out.
Do that, yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff, though.
I don't care for them all that much either. They're an interesting diversion, but
yeah,
I mean, it's a throwback to the old game.
Exactly.
And even and you know, back to the original, like, Commando.
Yeah.
If you guys remember.
And that was the whole reason it was there in the first place, right? It was that, it was a Bionic Commando, you know, giving a little credit to Commando.
Stuff by Capcom, yeah.
Yep. Good stuff.
Well, as far as the price is concerned, yeah, I definitely want to see this, you know, sell well. And, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Even in our circle of R, where we sometimes share games, you know, all three of us bought this game. We all put our money down towards it.
We did.
It's extremely cheap for as much gameplay as you're getting. And I will honestly say that I would have paid probably $40 for this game. That's probably just me. But they're selling it for $10. I mean,
this game has a lot of stuff in it for $10.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all the challenge rooms that they added that are awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great deal. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole thing was the price was decided by vote, right? And
correct.
The vote, the selection that won was $15, right? That had the most votes for it. And they decided to put it out for
10
anyway.
80-some% decided $10 and like something else for 15.
Right.
Well, anyway. Either way, it's worth it. $10, you're getting multiplayer co-op, you're getting multiplayer versus, you're getting the challenge rooms, the tutorial, the single player. Like, it's more complete than some games I paid $60 for. Cough Motorstorm and Cough Shadowrun. And, it's more complete than a lot of games, $60 games out there that are, you know, at least less content and not even as fun. So there's no reason you shouldn't buy this game if you like side-scrollers or like the original.
I'm not going to mention a name here, but I do want to throw this out there. I had someone say to me that they wanted to game share Bionic Commando from me, and they would game share Siren Blood Curse, which is like, what, $40?
Something like that, yeah.
I was like, you know what? That sounds like a really good deal, but I really want you to support Capcom on this one. Go buy the game.
That's funny.
I mean, Chris and I both actually, you know, we wanted to see it succeed, so we went out and we bought the soundtrack as well, even like the original NES soundtrack. Wow. So.
Yeah, the soundtrack for Rearmed is only $10, you know, and it's really good. There's like 14 tracks or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all the soundtracks from the game and stuff like that. And then they had the soundtrack from the original game, which was, what was it, Jason, like $3?
That was $3, yeah.
It's like, fuck, I'll buy it for $3. That's no problem.
I'd buy that for $1. Well, in regard to the music, amazing stuff. You know, they didn't go too...
It is good.
Yeah, they kept all the original, I don't know, the feel of the tunes and stuff. And I think the director of the game had actually pulled double duty, and he designed the new music. And I know he said somewhere in an interview that, you know, there really wasn't much that he could do with the music, you know, because it was so perfect to begin with.
Yeah.
So he just kind of, you know, made it feel like it was part of that particular game. So I mean, it's more techno beat to it. It just feels newer. It brought it up to date while keeping some of the samples from the original tracks. So it's familiar and new, and
it's great.
Definitely worth the $10.
Yeah. I definitely loved the way they did the original trailer they released, where they actually showed it. They like went from the old 8-bit version and just kind of masked it and put the Rearmed over it and did the same thing with the music and everything. It was that was awesome.
Even some of the sound effects, even the sound effect of the arms swinging out and attaching to stuff is somewhat similar.
Yeah.
Just brought back instant memories. I was like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Was that the end of the emails?
Yeah, that's what we got for emails.
I think so.
Good stuff.
Well, let's touch on all the games that have come out so far. Cool. We'll start with the original. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of the original is the fact that when you start the game, you die in one hit.
Yeah.
Yes. Was it really like
there's no life bar?
Yeah. In the first one, you had to level up, basically.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, every time you killed an enemy, it dropped a little bullet.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
You picked up the cartridge, and after you got X amount of cartridges, you'd get another life point. And it went up to, what was it, like 300 cartridges. If you collected 300 cartridges... You had 8 life points, and you know, and every time you got hit, it would take one off. But I was one of those guys that when I was in the first stage, like in the area with all the elevators and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had the paratroopers. And there was an area where two paratroopers would come down at once. And every time you killed them, two more would spawn. Yeah. So I would sit there and just kill paratroopers until I got to like six life points. Too. And then I would continue through the game. Because it didn't take that long. You know, it was like you had to collect maybe 120 of them or something like that. And when you're doing two at a time, it's really not that long of a time.
No.
But that made the game a lot easier for me going through it.
Oh, definitely.
But
I was the same way. Yeah, I'd look for spawn points just like that so I can level up, as it were.
Yeah.
And you needed to, because you know what? There's no fucking continues in that
game.
That's
right. Like, you don't start. You have to earn your continues.
To the last stage. You run out of life, man. That's it. You start.
Was there a save system in it? I can't remember.
No.
Or was it? You started from the beginning, right?
There were no saves. There were no continues. You had to actually earn continues. And I forgot how you did that.
Yeah, it was through the special stages, the top-down stages, wasn't it?
Was it really?
I think so.
Hmm, that might have been. Because I was playing the original one a while, over during the week, and I got to stage six, which is like the hellish stage. And, you know, I burned through four continues on that stage. I just could not get it right. It was killing me.
Okay, so if you were supposed to play it in one sitting, how long should it take you to beat this game? Like, how long do they expect?
I would say 2 to 3 hours, maybe.
That's it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that today. Something about halfway through.
Well,
so.
I mean, you have to know what you're doing, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
true.
Right. Yeah.
The game's so unforgiving.
Yeah.
It's going to take you probably, you know, maybe a couple hours for each stage in some cases, you know? So you'll get a lot more hours out of it. But if you really know what you're doing, yeah, you can burn through it pretty quick.
Yeah.
It is one of those games that you don't mind showing someone when you're playing it that you actually get good at it, and you know the levels like at the back of your hand, you're just looking like a badass.
Because you're swinging around like there's no tomorrow, and I mean, it just looks really fucking cool. And like Jason said, it's very elegant when you can, you know, move through the stages quickly like that. So yeah, good stuff.
That's so cool. It's a good feeling. It really is. You know,
because
you've got this really clunky character, but here you are flying Spider-Man style through the air.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Let's see. One thing that I noticed from the original to Rearmed that they added that makes gameplay a lot easier. When you're crouching, you can change directions while you're crouching in Rearmed. Where in the original, I don't think you could do that.
You had to stand back up and turn around?
Yeah, you had to stand up, turn around, and crouch again.
See,
and
that's ridiculous.
That was life or death right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know?
Is that for real, though? Because I thought it was just my bad controller on the emulator. To be honest, I don't remember whether or not you could turn around.
No, I think that's the way it was.
Okay.
I really do. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Send us an email and let us know. But I'm pretty sure that in the original, you could not switch directions while you were crouched.
Yeah, I think that might be right.
Cool. What else about the original? I think that's it. I mean, Rearmed pretty much stays true to the original.
Yeah.
Yep, then fixes a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And just definitely. Makes it look better overall. Yeah, the control scheme, I think it is a lot tighter in this one. At least it's more fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun to begin with, but you know, the certain things that I can do now, like I can walk off the edge of a cliff and then shoot my arm straight up and Rearmed, and it was so hard to do that in the original. Cuz you'd fall so fast and just drop straight down. So they give you a little more freedom and in Rearmed.
Good stuff. Let's see. Then there's a Game Boy version that came out.
See, I never played these.
That was what?
I never played that either.
I never played these.
Yeah, I never did either. I kind of went back and played them for just because we were doing this episode. But I've played them very little. I just wanted to go back and check to see if it stayed true to the control and that kind of thing. The original Game Boy one was pretty much like the Nintendo one, but it was more bite-sized chunks from what I could tell. Like, in the first stage of Bionic Commando, you know, you climb up to the tower and you go to the communications tower, and then the next door you go in brings you to that elevator area. In the Game Boy one, that next door is the end of the first stage, and then the second stage is the elevator area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they kind of reformatted some things, but you know, the control is pretty much the same. And it's, you know, it works pretty much the same, and it's well done for a Game Boy game. Of course, the sound is kind of crappy, but, you know, what can you expect from the Game Boy?
Yeah.
Right.
And then there was a Game Boy Color version, which was Elite Force, and I played that a little bit. And in that one, you get to actually choose characters. You have either, there's a guy or a chick. And because I've, because Bionic Commando has always been a guy, I chose the chick.
Mm-hmm.
When I played this one, the first thing I noticed was that the animation of it was by far the best I'd ever seen on Game Boy Color. Cool. I mean, there was really a ton of frames for the motion of your main character. Yeah, the rest of the stuff was kind of skimped along the way, mm-hmm. I think, but, you know, it looked really good. Everything in there, the control and everything is pretty common to the first one. The stages are totally different. So this was like a true new, like, Bionic Commando game. And biggest thing about this one is that you could actually drop down from one level to another by mm-hmm. pushing down twice.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, so in this one, you know, you can, in Rearmed, you can drop a grenade below you. But you can't actually fall down to the level below you.
No.
In Elite Force, you actually could. Hmm. So, but that's honestly, I didn't play them enough to give you any more information than that. I just wanted to try them out real quick and mention them. And that's it. So we can move on.
All right.
We've talked about Rearmed quite a bit. And we've actually talked about the sequel a little bit, too. What do you guys hope for the sequel?
Good. Same shit like we just said. Basically, I wanted a good 3D experience with focus on the swinging. I want that mm-hmm. to be like the main thing. I'm not really expecting much, to tell you the truth. I'm not even expecting like a 10 out of a game, or maybe even like a 9. Like, I'm thinking maybe it might even be like a Lost Planet type, maybe a little bit better than Lost Planet in terms of the actual game that they make. But as long as they make it like true to the actual series and true to the original and Rearmed, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, me too. I want that arcadey feel to stay in it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want it to feel like I'm playing a shooter.
I don't want it to be open ended either. If that's another thing, I want it to be level based.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
with bosses.
Yes, big bosses. That is something that is also I wanted to mention with Two Human is very disappointing. The bosses are utter shit, but we'll talk about that next week.
Cool. Jason, do you have anything specific that you're hoping for from the new one?
Not really to add. Yeah, like I said, I'm not seeing a ton of stuff from the original being thrown into this new one. So I don't think it's going to have the same kind of feel.
So. Yeah, I think it's definitely going to feel different. But, yeah. I mean, how can you not feel fun. Different moving from 2D space to 3D space?
3D, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not to say that the new shit doesn't look cool. Like, you know,
it does.
Some of the videos where you can, you know, grab an enemy with your arm and, you know, shoot him, mm-hmm. throw him around and stuff. And that seems really
cool. Oh, yeah.
I think by itself, yeah, it looks really cool, and I'm excited for
it. I love that you can shoot your arm out and grab an enemy and then pull them towards you and kick them as like off the arm.
Yeah.
I mean, that was that's a really cool like melee component to the game. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool.
That's something I was going to say. I'm hoping the arm adds an element like the glaive did in Dark Sector.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that Jeff mentioned Lost Planet, because Lost Planet, to me, like when I played Lost Planet, they had like the arm that you could shoot out in that, but it was hardly used. It was like a gimmick, really.
Yeah. You had to use it maybe on what, 3 or 4 levels, and that was about it.
Yeah, it was very rare that you used it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like Jeff said, I really hope that it's not really just there for a gimmick, and it needs to be a necessary gameplay element mm-hmm. for this game to work for me. So hopefully they'll do that.
Hmm.
Cool.
Indeed.
What was I going to say? What game would you like to see this treatment made to again? Like, what would be the next game you would want to see this treatment?
Maybe Ninja Gaiden.
The original?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Now, the arcade version or the NES version?
No,
versions?
Not the arcade version. I played the arcade version actually pretty recently. I think I forgot to talk about it, though, like on PC, and it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's really bad. You could do some cool stuff, like the whole flipping around guys and throwing guys over your shoulder while you're flipping and stuff, but that, I hated the fact that the camera was constantly moving. It scrolls, like it's scrolling the entire time you're playing the game.
Oh, yeah, even if you stop, the camera still goes.
It was ridiculous. I'm like, this is not that great of a game. But the originals are still pretty fun, like the ones for NES.
Yeah, NES ones are really good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, what else? Anything like don't know.
The first one that came to my head. Maybe. What's that?
Flashback.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Like Flashback. What was the other one? Blackthorn.
Oh, Blackthorn was cool too, yeah.
Yeah, Blackthorn was awesome. Well, I know that, I think it was Boric that mentioned it on VG Evo. Mm-hmm. Strider,
yeah. Yes, that'd be amazing.
I cannot
actually
think of a better game to receive this treatment. I mean, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, Strider would be awesome, actually. The arcade version, not the NES version.
Right.
My pick is actually Blaster Master. And I know that was mentioned on like the 1UP show, but man, did I love that game. I think that...
Yeah, I did too. They made that PS1 version, but was it PS1 or PS2?
Right, they did. Yeah, I think it's the PS1.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great, and it kept some of the mechanics and everything, but I don't know. It just didn't feel the same for some reason.
I think Strider would definitely be the best in terms of like this type of game, because it was kind of... It felt different than other side-scrollers at the time.
Yeah, and it's kind of got... like the whole thing with Bionic Commando is that, you know, you use the arm to swing around, and in Strider you could climb the walls and stuff like that with the hooks, right? So and that would be kind of a cool mechanic to see in to get this remade and put it in this sort of form.
Or Shinobi game like Shadow Dancer or Revenge of Shinobi would be kind of cool.
Oh, Shadow Dancer, I would love it.
That'd be a badass.
I love it.
Do you think Capcom's kind of copping out by remaking old games, or?
I think Rearmed was, I think, the first one we saw a video of, right? And then was it just after that where they announced, like, the Commando redo one and the 1942? Mm-hmm. Or was that...
Well,
that what was, I'm trying to think what came first.
Prior.
Was it prior?
Yeah, Commando. Those are all prior then.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Well, they came out before Rearmed.
Yeah, they came out before. Were they announced at the same time?
I don't know.
Because they obviously put more work into Bionic Commando than either of those other ones.
Definitely.
For sure. Even the style, but that...
Well, they had to, and in reality, it was, I mean, it's, I guess it depends on how they worked with Grin to get it developed, you know? I mean, it's, Grin is the one that put all the work into it. Yeah, I'm sure that Capcom was looking over their shoulder a lot, but, I mean, you have to, I have to give props to how much work that Grin did on this game, because I'll tell you what, first time I booted up and played it, I was in awe at how great it looked. I really was.
I still am.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, they put a lot of polish on this for being a downloadable game. Damn, dude.
Yeah, for a $10 downloadable game. I mean,
very impressive. I don't think they're copping out so much. I would love more treatments like this done. You know,
as long as they do it right.
But they have to do it right. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to do it right.
Yeah, the Commando remake, not so good. Not so good at all. It was okay.
Is that the Commando 3 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was all right.
Yeah, with the depending on how, if Rearm does really well, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a bunch of other companies starting to do the same thing. It's going to have that typical, you know, hit game that comes out. They're going to be a bunch of followers, so
that's fine.
Yeah, I would.
It's okay. I'm totally cool with it.
As long as it's a title that deserves it and you do it right.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, cool. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the new one, so hopefully they'll do well on that, and I think Grin is working on that one too, so hopefully they're getting it right.
Cool.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Good stuff. Bionic Commando 360 PS3. Go buy it right now if you haven't already.
Word. Please do. Oh, what, PC, as well. See, I think I'm going to get on the PC too, because there's going to be some new content added to that, and I'm okay giving them more money.
Yeah. As you said, I definitely would have paid more for this game, you know. So, I don't know if I would have paid $40 for it. You know, if it was 40, I'd ask for something like online play or something. But, I definitely would have played 20, probably upward into 30 to get it.
Well, I've been getting a shit ton of gameplay out of this, you know, between, you know, just the regular stuff.
We're going in circles,
which
guys.
Kellen,
we're going
I put in a circles. Lot of, I know, but we didn't really touch on, like, the multiplayer other than co-op, right?
Yeah, actually, I was going about to ask you about that. Did you guys play that version?
Yeah, we like did them. Actually, and I loved it an awful lot. The mode in particular that I liked is the Don't Touch the Floor, because everyone's kind of on equal footing as far as stats are concerned. Because in the deathmatch stuff, you have different stats for different characters, and I was getting pissed because Callan was one-shotting me with a shotgun, but I'd have to kill him with two. I'm like, what the fuck? But luckily, you can turn off certain weapons, and
that's good.
So that made it a little more equal. But the Don't Hit the Floor stuff is all these multi-layered, you know, usually vertical levels, and there's no life bar. What you have to do is actually shoot the other person until they fall off a ledge, or if you shoot them in the air, then they'll just fall down. But as soon as they hit the floor, then they're dead. That's the whole
basis of it. And I think you have like, you know, a set number of lives. And you know, once you deplete those, you know, winner's the last one standing.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
There's a couple times when, you know, because we were doing three-player. It was me, my son, and, you know, my wife, Lisa. And you know, we were all on the same level. And it was like, you know, Callum was on one side, I was on the other. Lisa was in the middle, and we were just shooting at her. So she'd get bounced back and forth and back and forth. And there was no clear winner. But it was whoever shot the fastest that would get the upper hand. It was fun. So we're just, yeah, losing our shit. It was so funny.
Cool. Very cool. I need to try some of those modes out. I haven't tried
it. That's one thing that they really need the online for.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I wouldn't mind like an online patch for another $10 or something down the line.
Stop saying you're ready to throw out money. How about for free? That'd be awesome. If we have to pay $5, that's fine. But free would be nice.
Yeah. Free would be nice, but I would happily throw money at it. All right. Anything before we wrap up?
No, I think Jeff's done. Jeez.
Yeah, I think he is too. Doesn't want to talk about Biocommander. I have to say that I really wish they would have put in the dropping down a level. Like the way Elite had, the way I said Elite had double tap down and it would drop down a level.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of helpful.
That would have been a little bit better, yeah.
But I'm not going to complain because the game's fucking awesome. So.
Tis.
All right. Let's put the lid on that one. I could talk about Biocommander for longer, but we won't. All right, let's run through this long ass new release list. How about that?
Let's do it.
There's some good stuff on here, but there's also some
a lot of
shit on here too. Let's see. Next week for the Wii, Mario Super Sluggers, which
fun.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna get that or not. I probably won't.
Is a different team doing that? I think it's the third party, right? Kind of like the basketball
and
stuff,
and soccer
probably.
And stuff.
Yeah,
I don't do the sports games very much, and sticking Mario in a sports game doesn't make me want to buy it anymore. So, Tiger Woods 09, Freddy Fish, Kelp Seed Mystery.
Awesome.
This is a kid's game for like 5 or 6 year olds.
It's a perfect
Rebel friend. Raiders, which is a futuristic jet combat. Let's see, Pajama Sam.
Pajama Sam.
Okay.
And Don't Fear the Dark. That's another kid's game for like 7 and 8 year olds. Spy Fox in Dry Cereal, another kid's game. All three of these games were actually made by the same company. I actually looked it up.
Okay.
And that one's like 9 and 10 year olds. And also Ferrari Challenge for the Wii. For DS, MLB Power Pros 2008.
Hey.
Cool. Digimon World Championship. Picto Image. Which I looked this one up. Apparently, you take turns drawing an image, and everyone else races against the clock to figure out what it is.
Okay, so it's like win, lose, or draw, or some crap. Pictionary.
Yeah, yeah, it's Pictionary, but you can do that on like PictoChat.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is just like giving a point to it.
Huh.
Harvest Moon is coming out next week. Harvest Moon Island of Happiness. The Quest Trio. I tried to look that up, and I have no idea what it is. I didn't find anything on it. From the Abyss, which is like a dungeon crawler, apparently, with randomly generated dungeons. Sims 2 Apartment Pets. N Plus Ferrari Challenge and My Chinese Coach. And that is that's the Nintendo shovelware portion of the new release list.
Are we done?
360. Tales of Vesperia.
Uh-huh.
And Infinite Now Discovery. Both of those come out next week.
Well, that's pretty big.
Yeah,
along
two
with
JRPGs
Tiger Woods.
In one day or one week.
That's... Yeah, I was surprised to see that. And it gets even more odd in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Tiger Woods is also coming out and Mercenaries 2. For the PS3, cool. Disgaea 3 is also coming out next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So we got three going head-to-head.
Yeah, three Japanese RPGs in the same week. That's
well, I guess on
impressive.
The bright side, if you're playing Disgaea and Infinite Discovery too much, you can just pay some money and you can get all your shit leveled up in Tales of Vesperia.
Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah. Technically play all the games at the same time.
That's right.
Or at least two of them.
Yeah, you can play one and just level up your characters in the other by paying money.
Exactly.
Let's see, what else for PS3? Tiger Woods 09, Ferrari Challenge, Vampire Reign Altered Species, and Mercenaries 2, World in Flames.
Mm-hmm. Mercenaries 2 is pretty
good. Yeah, Mercenaries 2 is next
week.
Crap. It's coming out for PS3, PS2, and 360 next week.
Wow.
Let's see, PS2 is also getting Tiger Woods 09 and Ferrari Challenge. And PSP is getting Tiger Woods 09 N Plus, and Fading Shadows, which I think I mentioned last week, and it didn't come out. But yeah, there's some good names in here. Harvest Mood for DS, Tales and Infinite No Discovery, Mercenaries, Disgaea, if you're into golf, Tiger Woods. So pretty good week next week.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah. That is your new release list. I will pass it over to Jason, who apparently has an email.
I have two. Actually, ooh, one's stripped from another one. So it's like 1.5. We're going to make it two. Anyway, it's from Dizzy. And this is kind of addressed to Jeff. He says, "What's black and screams, Jeff?"
I take it. I can't answer that on the show. I'll tell you guys after. It's hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Also, he wants us to try Cointreau, which is like some weird liqueur made from oranges. I've never tried it. Have you guys?
No. Cointreau. No. What is it called?
Cointreau. Like Cointreau.
I don't know. Never heard of it.
I don't think we get that here. Maybe that's indigenous to his locale. I don't know. And one last comment from him. He says, "Did you know that the verb cleave is the only English word with two synonyms, which are antonyms of each other, to adhere and to separate?" Did you know that? I knew that.
Didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
There we go.
That's Dizzy's crazy. Fun fact of the week.
He also has a fun little music track that he included, which I'm going to throw it at the end of the episode.
At the end of the show?
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Cool.
So,
cool. Thank you, Dizzy.
Thanks, Diz.
Yeah, indeedy. All right. So, the regular email. Where'd it go? Oh, Aces High. We love Aces High stuff because it's completely fucking random.
Random.
I know. I love it.
All right. Hi, Indus.
What's Aces he got High for us this week, Jason?
Random questions. Question number one. What is your favorite thing to put peanut butter on besides PB&J?
Chuck's mom.
Yeah. Well done.
She's already got the jelly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jelly rolls.
And the yeast.
It's fucking disgusting. Man.
Yeah, you want to go first, Jason? My waffles. Answer wasn't serious.
I put peanut butter in waffles.
Really? That's kind of odd.
Yeah. It's good.
Not as odd as you think, actually. That's a northern thing, I believe, isn't it?
I don't
or
know.
Or a Midwest thing.
That's just like when you're out of syrup and you don't know what the fuck else to do. It's like making a ketchup sandwich, you know?
Oh, gross.
Well, the reason I ask that is because I know that a lot of like Crystal's father's side of her family, they put peanut butter on pancakes.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it was a regional thing, though. You know, like an up north thing. Like, nobody in my family does it.
Like, I love peanut butter. Yeah. These sound pretty good. I've just never thought of them, actually. Yeah.
It's actually really good because I ran out of syrup one day also, and I put them on my pancakes. It's fucking
creative.
Awesome.
Yeah. We were poor growing up, so it's like, you know, I used to eat like Taco Bell sauce packets sometimes, you know. You just find new and creative ways to
to
fill your belly.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, so Chris, you got something?
My answer is not nearly as interesting. Chocolate bars.
Hey, that works.
Put them on chocolate bars.
Why don't you buy a fucking Reese's peanut butter
cup? Exactly. What the hell? Like, come on.
Well, sometimes you don't have a Reese's peanut butter cup. Sometimes you have a Hershey's bar.
Yeah,
you stick it on the Hershey's bar.
I bet. And I'm just going to be boring and say crackers. Yeah, peanut butter and crackers. Why not?
All right.
Cool. Banana. Also good on bananas.
Oh, bananas are good too. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So many.
I love peanut butter and bananas.
All right, question number two.
You get your potassium too.
We have an option between which do we like better, lifting weights or jogging?
No, lifting weights 100%.
Lifting weights 100%.
How much does a beer can weigh? Because that's what I like.
That would be considered. Well, let's put it this way. It's definitely not jogging, so it's going to go under A.
Yeah.
I'm a smoker. And I don't lift weights. Like, I have enough muscle to kind of get me around and move and stuff, so I'm good.
Do your daily tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a smoker too. So I
do lift weights, but yeah, and I definitely prefer it over jogging because number one, I have bad knees. And number two, I just, for some reason, I have a high resting heart rate. So I'm always out of breath when I try and jog.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a naturally high resting heart rate, and it screws up
your cardio.
You know, screws up when I exercise.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, all right. Last question.
Did any of you ever watch the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? If yes, then what were your memories?
Oh, God, dude. Yeah.
Power Rangers.
I'm pretty sure I watched the original. I think it came out when I was like grade 9 or something like that, or maybe grade 10. Power Rangers. I think it was grade 9. Well, apparently you know it more than
no.
I do.
It was probably you were probably younger. I'm sure. I used to watch the hell out of that show. I loved it. It got me interested in like all kinds of like Japanese Sentai shows, and it was
really
a starting point.
Well, Kimberly, when was the original was released? Yeah, I remember Kimberly.
I couldn't tell
the
you
pink
a year.
One, right?
I remember being in like seventh.
I was in grade 9, I think.
Really? But you're younger.
I'm pretty
than
positive. I was grade 9.
No, I'm
younger than you.
I was in grade 9 when I watched it, so you had to be younger.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I distinctively remember being in ninth grade watching it.
Okay, then I would have been like grade 8 then, or grade 7 maybe.
Yeah. And I will say this, I did watch it.
I thought it was cheesy as hell, but I watched it every day anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like it was like the cheesiest, most retarded version of Voltron I had ever seen. And
awesome.
But I still had to watch it. It was like I need a Voltron fix, and this is all I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you'd never talk to your friends about it, though. Like,
oh, God, no.
Oh, no, hell no, dude. It never
you'd make
that public
make fun of people that watched it. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was always watching it at 3:30 every day after school. You know?
It was almost worse than telling people you masturbated in that age.
Right. Like, you know. Even though, you know, they all were guilty.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know.
I was watching Power Rangers. Okay, I have to ask you guys something. When,
and the
when
Green
you were
Power
watching
Ranger
Power
saga
Rangers?
From the original series was epic.
Yes, I do remember that. He was like the long hair rocker dude.
Jason.
Do
right
now?
Or was that Jason?
Yes. Yeah, it was Jason. Yeah. Yeah. He did have long hair.
Who was that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah.
He got it on with Kimberly. I think her name was Kimberly.
Yeah.
The Pink Ranger?
The pink one.
Kimmy.
The Pink Ranger.
Did you guys think she was hot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely at the time.
I
totally thought she was hot. I thought the Asian one was hot, too.
And Billy and Zach. What was the Red Ranger's name?
For some reason, when I keep thinking of who was the black guy who played? Who was
wait
he
a second.
Which Ranger
wait a
was
second.
He?
Jason was the Red Ranger, wasn't he? And then
maybe.
I think it was Tommy.
Brad.
That was
maybe.
The Green Ranger?
I can't remember.
Now, Tommy was the White Ranger, wasn't he?
I was going to say, okay, who was the black guy in Power Rangers? Which color was he?
Black,
this is not
actually.
Power recording, by the way. The what? He was black?
He was the Black Ranger, yeah.
That's funny. Because every time I'm thinking of, like, I'm trying to picture him as who played him, and all I could picture is what's his face? The comedian guy. What the hell's his name?
Oh, yeah.
I
forgot his name, but he was on, like, Whose Line Was It Anyway?
Yes, him.
Whose
that
Line
guy.
Was That Anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
Brady,
I don't know.
Tom,
who,
no,
was something. It him?
Wayne Brady?
Yeah.
No, that's all I can picture, though. I don't think it was him, but that's all I can picture.
I don't think it was him either, but I think I think he looked similar.
Yeah.
Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, I have to ask you guys something. Since we're talking about this show, is it just me, or did it seem like when you were watching this show, the parts where they weren't dressed up or they weren't in costume or in their uniforms or whatever, it was a totally different script with totally different actors?
Yes, it was, actually. Because all the action sequences were from a Japanese show.
The Japanese show, right?
Right,
yeah.
And they just took those and, then they made new scenes with, you know, American kids.
That's funny.
I thought
for
so.
Us.
So, it's definitely evident.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty obvious, but.
And I always loved how when you saw like the enemies, the ones that were dressed up in suits, how they would like move their sword around while they were talking. It's like, "Oh."
Yeah, pretty bad.
I love those kinds of shows, though.
Yeah.
Our buddy John is really
all watch
Power Rangers Sentai shit too.
Cheesy memories. Oh, you said Sentai. See, I thought you said hentai.
Hentai. No.
I'm like, why are you mixing Power Rangers with porn?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Well, Kim.
Jason was the Red Ranger.
Yeah, Kim was pretty hot.
Was the green and white Ranger.
They should have had, like, they should have done the Power Rangers, had the whole Saved by the Bell cast be them.
That would be awesome. I'm so excited. I'm so
oh my God.
Scared, Zach. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that one chick ruined her career after she went and did Showgirls.
Yeah, so. That was her, actually.
Jesse Spano. Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah, Elizabeth Berkley. That's it.
All right. Well, that's all right. I got for emails. We went way too far off topic.
That was for Aces, right?
Aces,
these are awesome. Yeah. Keep them coming, dude. I love these emails.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's talk about question of the week real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, we want to talk about game ratings. So the question of the week is, are game ratings effective and why? And when we say ratings, we're not talking about like review scores. We're talking about ESRB or whatever your country uses. I don't know the name of them all, but like T for Teen, M for Mature, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Cool. All right. You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email to an email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us voicemails to Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. You can also just email us an MP3 file. Yeah. That works too. Mm-hmm. Check us out on Warhawks Wednesdays, which are blowing up right now.
Holy shit, they're, dude. Busy all the time.
Yeah, there's. We now have two servers running in America, right?
Yeah.
One uses the expansion maps and one doesn't. Mm-hmm. And now the Europeans are getting one going too that happens earlier in the day. So. If you guys are interested in that, check out VG Evo. There's two topics in the Interactive Distractions forum. Mm-hmm. One about Warhawk Wednesdays for Europe and one about Warhawk Wednesdays for the Americas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. New patches so, coming out soon that allows for jetpacks, new game modes, and also training tutorials for anyone who's been, you know, afraid to jump in.
I'm definitely going to take advantage of that.
It's cool.
Cool. Let's see what else. Tell your friends and let them know what you're listening to and why. And give us an iTunes review if you're getting us on iTunes. Drop us a review. We've got like 9 or 10 now.
Feeling or if you good. Guys want to add us to Zune, that'd be great too. Whatever. Ah, we're not listed yet. So, and apparently we need people to like submit us a number of times.
Oh, really? Weird.
It's weird. Yeah, they're fucked up over there.
I think that's the way that Dig works too. We need to have several episodes submitted because I tried to actually put our podcast on Dig.
Oh, fuck.
And it says that it's not approved. It hasn't approved yet. After 40-something episodes, we're not approved yet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not sure how that works.
But I don't want them listening to us. Fuck them.
also, remember we have a Facebook group. Go check that out. Add us. Join the group. Add us as friends. And if you do add us as friends on Facebook, please let us know where you're from.
Yeah.
Why you're adding us. Because
it gets confusing sometimes.
Yeah, get random ads. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, I know I'm a popular and good-looking guy, but, you know.
You know, the fact that he looks like Captain America and everything.
Yeah.
Are you done with pimping stuff? Because I got something to pimp, too.
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right, Sisters pimp in it. Gaming finally released their first official episode. You can find them at sisters.com.
Oh, right, they did that yesterday, right?
They're kind of, sort of, like, you know, by proxy part of the VG Evo network. They're not, you know, officially in. You know, most of the members are sleeping with, you know, some of the other higher ups in VG Evo, so you would think they'd be included, but they're not yet. But no, really good episode. It's the four chicks, so it's cool getting their perspective. I just listened to the first episode. We actually had a couple emails from, you know, a couple from the Indus crew. My wife got on there. But my favorite part of the entire episode was Chris's email. And you know, I got to say, because, you know, we cut off Chris from talking about PSU on our show. He felt the need to go and talk about it on someone else's show.
Oh,
but the best part is that they truncated his email.
I figured they would.
He started talking about, like, in detail, and she goes on, and he speaks in detail about his character.
That's funny. Who's the four that do it?
There's
Saber Girl,
there's Nirmasa, there's Silrain, and Catwoman.
Silrain. Right, there you go.
Give it a listen.
Do it. It's fun.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, that's all we got for this week, unless you guys have something else you want to throw in before we end.
No, I'm done.
Cool.
Good, man.
Well, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Chris, and for Jason.
I'm Jason.
And Jeff.
Take it easy.
Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Thou shalt not steal if there is a direct victim. Thou shalt not worship pop idols or follow lost prophets. Thou shalt not take the names of Johnny Cash, Joe Strummer, Johnny Hartman, Desmond Decker, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, or Sid Barrett in vain. Thou shalt not think any male over the age of 30 that plays with a child that is not their own is a paedophile. Some people are just nice. Thou shalt not read NME. Thou shalt not stop liking a band just because they've become popular. Thou shalt not question Stephen Fry. Thou shalt not judge a book by its cover.
advice, just a band. Minor threat, just a band. The Cure, we're just a band. The Smiths, just a band. Nirvana, just a band. The Pixies, just a band. Oasis, just a band. Radiohead, just a band. Block Party, just a band. The Arctic Monkeys, just a band. The next big thing, just a band. Thou shalt give equal worth to tragedies that occur in non-English speaking countries as to those that occur in English speaking countries. Thou shalt always kill.